Am I on? You hear me? Good? Good to go? All right. Before we get started with the message today, I have an announcement that I would like to make. I am pleased and honored to announce the engagement of Kendra and David. She finally said yes. His knees are bruised and tattered from asking and asking and asking. She finally got tired and he wore her down, and now they are going to get married. Perseverance pays off, does it not, David? So, as a pastor, there are many times that rumors begin to swirl in churches about their pastor. And some pastors have been accused of some pretty horrible things. And this last week, Belinda and I and the kids and the grandkids, we all went over to Seattle because it was Eastern University Day at the Seattle Mariners game. So we all went and had a good time. And I took the rest of this week off, so I have been on vacation for a week, and it has been amazing. For those of you who do not know, I work a full-time job for DePue Orthopedics, and I have decided to retire from that, and then Belinda said, no, you're not. So I am going to work tomorrow morning. But I received a text. And in this text, it said, there's a rumor going around the church that you didn't go to the Mariner game, you were going to the Taylor Swift concert. That is the most foul thing that I have ever heard in my entire life. So I am here to say, no, I did not go to the Taylor Swift concert. First of all, they would have to pay me to listen to her, and I'm not willing to do it. So let's just squelch those rumors right now. Pastor Jim is not a Swiftie. And I didn't even know that was a thing until I was surrounded by thousands and thousands and thousands of young girls dressed like they were going to the prom. So I've never seen so much sequins in my life. And all the Swifties, and that's what they called themselves, the Swifties. Wow. So I have a new name for New Hope Christian Center. We're going to be the Olsenese. Good enough for Taylor, good enough for me. So no, we had a great time, and it's good to be back. I miss when I'm not here. I truly do. It's family. And so when we were away, it's like, this just doesn't feel right. I'm missing time. I had great time with my grandkids. Every time that I am with them, they reiterate the fact that I need to get in better shape because they are something. Holy smokes. Love them to death, but I sleep well after they go home. All right, so today we're going to do, I do this every year, because we're going to have a baptism at my house next week for all of those who want to be baptized. And I'll tell you what, there are so many different teachings on baptism and what it means and what it doesn't mean and how do you do it and what do? What do you say? Do you have to do this? You have to do that? So I'm gonna go over some of the things that I have heard in my past as a pastor that people have asked me. How many different ways are there to baptize a person? What exactly is baptism and what does it mean? I've had people ask me, is it necessary? I've had people say, I was baptized as a child. Is that good enough? I had one person say to me, how do you know if it sticks? I didn't quite get it, but okay. How about getting baptized multiple times? I was baptized earlier as a child. I feel like I want to rededicate. Can I get baptized again? Some churches only baptize teenagers and adults. Some churches baptize children and babies. Some people sprinkle water on the head. Some people pour water on the head. Some people fully immerse backwards. Some people fully immerse forward. Some people say you're not really baptized unless it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Others say you're not really baptized if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And here at New Hope, if you've been here any length of time, you know that I have a favorite saying, one of my favorite sayings. Let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. If you want to know what baptism is, open up your Bible. And it will eliminate a lot of the bad teaching and the bad doctrine out there. And we're going to go over some of those questions. First of all, what is baptism? So if you look in the Old Testament for the word baptize, you ain't going to find nothing. There's no record of baptisms in the Old Testament, period. Now, there is a reference of a baptism from the Old Testament, but it was written in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." But that is the only reference to an Old Testament baptism. In the New Testament, the Greek word is baptizo, and it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or submerge like a sunken vessel. So that's what baptizo means. Is it important to be baptized? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And some of you know that. I apologize. We have the AC on, but obviously it ain't on. So I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. And you can go ahead and fan yourselves with a tithing envelope. And then after you're done, please put $5 in there for the use of the fan. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And a lot of people stop there, but I think the next verse is just as important. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So he said, go out, make disciples, and baptize them. So there's a reference right there in words that Jesus left to his disciples to pass on. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John consented." Jesus got baptized. He was not baptized to cleanse his sins, but he says, it is proper that you do these things. And he modeled baptism as being an important part of a Christian's walk with God. He didn't need it to be cleansed, but he modeled it for us so that we could do the same as he had done. Is it a salvation issue? There are a lot of churches out there that say, yes, if you are not baptized, you are not going to heaven. So is it a salvation issue? Well, let's look in the scriptures and find out. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Peter had given this big discourse, and he says, you need to repent, and you need to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. Now, if I just pluck that scripture out and base my belief and my ideology on that one scripture, then yes, baptism is an essential issue. But you need to look at the scriptures in their entirety. There are a lot of pastors out there and false prophets and false teachers who take one part of Scripture and hang it on the wall and say, this is how we are going to live, and they eliminate and don't pay any attention to the other Scriptures. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we want to look at the entire body of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. So let's look in Acts, same book, Acts chapter 3, verses 19. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. No mention of baptism. Repentance is the key in both of these scriptures, but no mention of baptism. And he says that you're so that your sins may be wiped out. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We receive our salvation by grace, which is given freely by God through faith. No mention of baptism in that scripture. In John 5, verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So whoever hears the word and believes it in their heart, just not in their mind, but in their heart as well, and the one who sent him has eternal life. No mention of baptism. In Luke chapter 23, 42 and 43, then he said, Jesus, remember me. This is the thief on the cross. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's got two thieves on one on either side of him. One is what they call the bad thief, and one is the one that they call the good thief. And he's talking to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That man did not have an opportunity to climb down off of the cross and get baptized. Yet Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. According to the scriptures, no, baptism is not a salvation issue. But it is an important part of our walk with the Lord. All right? Am I making sense here, peeps? Good. Olsenese, are you with me? So what about infant baptism? So I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy. I was a good altar boy. Ringing the bells and holding the plate underneath so you didn't drop the Eucharist and didn't laugh at all because there was a reverence and the nuns and the priests scared the poop out of me. But I was baptized as a baby. If you ever go to Europe and you see these incredible, the Duomos or the cathedrals or whatever, you're always going to see a smaller building next to it, and that was the baptistry. Because the Catholic Church taught that if you are not baptized into the Catholic Church, you cannot go to heaven. And back then, there was a high mortality rate during childbirth. So they wanted to whisk that kid away, and as soon as they were born, the first thing they did is they took them to the baptistry, which was open 24 hours a day, and they would have them baptized. So if that child died, they would be sealed and go to heaven because of that baptism. The Catholic Church teaches that baptism is an essential issue. Don't let them tell you any different. That is their teaching. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they believed, there has to be a knowledge of what you're being baptized for. When they believed, then they got baptized. So that leaves out little children that really don't understand. Little Oliver doesn't get it yet. He probably will when he's like 2. But he doesn't understand. How can he come to a belief that he doesn't even have the comprehensive abilities to do so? The clear teaching of Scripture is that all who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord should be baptized in obedience to Christ. To me, good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. The New Testament order is always the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the acceptance of the message by faith on the part of the hearers, repentance, and then baptism. That is always the order listed in the Scriptures. Hearing the message, believing the message, repenting, and then being baptized. Make sense? Beyond that, we can argue that infant baptism is potentially detrimental. You see, when I was growing up as a Catholic, I believed I was going to heaven based on the fact that I had been baptized as a baby that I don't even remember in the Catholic Church. And if you're basing your salvation on that, that's a scary place to be. That is a very scary place to be. If an adult mistakenly assumes that because he was baptized as an infant, he possesses salvation and is a member of Christ's church, then he is sadly deceived. There is no grace imparted in the physical act of baptism. None, apart from the faith of the one being baptized. To count on one's infant baptism as the basis for standing before God is to trust in a false hope. There are a lot of people that believe that they're just going to take the easy escalator because they were baptized as a baby. And that is false teaching and potentially dangerous. I'm good enough, I've been baptized. Not what the Bible says. It's not what the Scriptures say. So how old should a child be before they are baptized? Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, they heard the message. They were cut to the heart. They understood the message. They understood that they were not in good standing with God. And they said, what do we do? Repent and then be baptized. I will not baptize a child unless they understand what baptism really is. I've done tons of youth camps where kids have gotten baptized just because their friends were getting baptized. There was no cut to the heart. There was no decision in their minds and in their hearts that they wanted to follow Jesus. They just wanted to follow their friend. A person needs to understand that God sent his son to die, to pay a penalty that we can't pay. That free gift of grace. And that in baptism, you're identifying with Jesus in his crucifixion, in his death, and in his resurrection. Make sense? Say, what about multiple baptisms? Like I said, a lot of young kids got baptized, and they did it for their mom, or they did it for a grandma, or they did it for their husband or their wife, but they didn't do it for themselves. And when they come to me and say, "I would like to get baptized again. I was baptized as a child, but I really didn't understand what it meant." I have no problem with that. I have no problem. There's nothing in the Scriptures that say you can't be baptized more than once. But once you are baptized, you understand what it is that you're doing. There's no need to get baptized again. Some people feel that they need to get baptized over and over and over again, then you don't understand baptism. They feel like it's a racing of the chalkboard. When I was a Catholic, my mentality was, my understanding of the teaching of the church was, I could do whatever I wanted as long as I went to confession. Confession was simply going in and saying, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. It has been about 2 weeks since my last confession, and I've done this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, depending on how long your list was how much the penance was. And the penance was a Hail Mary, an Our Father, and if you were really bad, an Apostles' Creed. But when I walked out of confession and I did those things, I felt better walking out. It's like someone erased the whiteboard. Well, we didn't have whiteboards back then. Someone erased the chalkboard with all the lists of my sins on them, and I was free to go back and do them again because I could just come back and repent again, confess again, and go back out and do it again. That's not what baptism is. That is not what baptism is. So there is a document that was written in the first century after Jesus died. And it was called the Didache. And it was also known as the Lord's Teaching Through the 12 Apostles to the Nations. And it was a brief synopsis on how to do certain things, how to live out this new life, this new the way, or Christians, how they were to go about these things. And there's a small section in the Didache that explained, according to their teaching back then, on how you were to baptize someone. Here's the quote from the Didache. But concerning baptism, baptize in this way. Having first recited the Christian precepts, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptize in running water. But if you do not have running water, baptize in some other water. So if you didn't have a river, you baptized in a lake or a sea or a puddle or whatever. And if you cannot baptize in cold water, then do so in warm water. But if you have neither, pour water 3 times on the head in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But before the baptism, let him who baptizes and him who was baptized fast previously, and any others who may be able. And you shall command him who is baptized to fast 1 or 2 days before. So according to these letters that were circulating, this is how you were supposed to do it. And that has evolved into the Catholic teaching of baptism, which is baptizing infants. It evolved into Mormonism, who teaches that you get baptized multiple times, and you can get baptized not just for yourself, but for loved ones who have died previously. It has gone to those churches who believe in full immersion, or partial immersion, or sprinkling of the head, or it's not going to stick if you don't say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are all kinds of teaching out there. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You guys are getting out of here really early today. Oh, Carol's happy. She's like, cut it off, Pastor Jim. Let's go. So what does baptism mean according to the scriptures? Baptism is simply this, a rite of immersion in water as commanded by Jesus, by which one, after confessing his sins and professing his faith in Christ, having been born again and by the Holy Spirit unto a new life, identifies publicly with the fellowship of Christ and the church. The first point, baptism symbolizes total identification with Christ in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. When you go under the water, you are identifying with his death. As you are cleansed and you are resurrected, you are identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and a new life in Him. Baptizing symbolizes our identification with the body of believers, with Christ's church. You are publicly saying, I am now a part of this family. And we have to remember, when these scriptures were printed, you could be killed for getting baptized publicly and announcing your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You were going to be persecuted. If you were a Jew, you were getting kicked out of the family, no longer able to take part in the rites of the Jews. You are saying, I am following Him because I believe that He died for me and could be easily persecuted because of it. Baptism also symbolizes the cleansing of sin. We're standing a sinner. We go under the water. We're cleansed and we come out clean. Not because of us, but because of God's righteousness. It is simply saying, I identify, I believe that Jesus is who He said He was. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe that He was resurrected and that He is seated on the right hand of God. And I am going to follow the statement that Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That is what baptism is according to the scriptures. So if any of you, after hearing this, would like to be baptized, I would invite you to go ahead and sign up. We're going to be doing it next week at my house. And we will celebrate together as a family. I'm inviting anyone else who wants to come out from the church. If you have someone that you love is going to get baptized, feel free to come out, and because that's what it's about. It's about family. It's about family. And like I said, good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Amen? Please stand.
God, we just thank You. We thank You for the miracle of salvation. We thank You for the miracle that You have come to give us life, and life more abundantly. We were dead in our sin. We were dead in our trespasses. But then we said yes to Jesus, and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus cleanse all of our sin and keeps on cleansing. So may we rise in You. We no longer live but Christ, and may we just live out, God, the gospel every day with Your help. And we just thank You that with man, God, these things are impossible, but with You, nothing is impossible. And so we don't look at disappointment in ourselves, but we look at Your appointment of who we are in You, God, and the plans that You have and the life that You've given us, the good life, God, the gospel, the too good to be true news. And we thank You for this, God. And whether or not we've been baptized or we will be baptized, may we understand that we're dying to ourselves, we're dying to sin, we're saying goodbye to the old life and to walking in our own ways, and we are being resurrected with all that You have and all that You are inside of us, God. And we just thank You for these things, and a blessing, God, on this day. In Jesus' name, thank You, God. Amen.
have been working real hard.